Evening. We're going to go ahead, Ashton, you can go ahead and skip over the Bible books. You know, we've been working on that. Genesis, beginnings, Exodus, redemption, and we've got all those. We're going to forego that this evening. We'll get right into our study in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, we've been studying last week. We started the study about what three-letter word? And sin destroys, doesn't it? And we talked about that, the destruction of sin. In verses 1 through 6, we saw the reality that sin destroys human relationships. That it destroyed the human relationships. It hurts myself. My sin always hurts me. But we can also say that when I sin, I don't sin in a vacuum. Now, we're not talking about a vacuum cleaner, right? Teens, what are we saying when I say, when I live my life, I don't live in a vacuum? Think science here. Spencer? So it's not just a constantly repeating. It's all, if you have a vacuum, it sucks the air and everything out, right? And there's nothing that affects anything in there. Vacuum pack closed. You ever done that? Maybe with food, vacuum sealer and sucking all the air out. When I sin in my life, I don't sin in a vacuum. I'm not the only thing in there. My sin always affects me and it always affects those around me. And that's a tough thing. Adam and Eve learned that lesson, that their sin affected each other. And what a sad thing that was. Again, often I tell myself lies. I believe lies about my sin. It hurts those close to me. I may lead others to sin. We talked about that with Adam and Eve. It makes me feel guilty. Remember, they hid from who? But could they really hide from God? No, but don't we sometimes try to hide from God too? We try to cover our guilt with whatever it may be, hobby, sports, food, reading. It doesn't matter. We can try to cover our sin, our guilt with all that. Some other things people try to cover their guilt with, alcohol and drugs and all sorts of stuff that people do. But sin destroys human relationships. We then in verses 7 through 16 talked about how sin destroys heavenly relationships. It destroys heavenly relationships. That God still wants a relationship with us. Aren't you thankful? But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God wants a relationship with us. But our sin separates us from God. And it does destroy that human relationship. But I'm thankful God still wants that relationship. He came down to the garden where he met Adam and Eve, and he said, "Where are you?" Now, Jeff, did God know where they were? Of course he did. But he wanted to prick their heart. "Hey, where are you? What's going on?" How many times does God say, "Hey, where are you? Why aren't you spending time with me anymore? What's going on in life? Why aren't you reading my word? Why aren't you praying?" Sin destroys heavenly relationships because then I get uncomfortable with God and I do what you're doing. I'm burdened for your relationship. God doesn't want us to have that sin. He wants us to have that close-knit relationship with him. I might blame others for my sin. Who did Adam blame? Eve, and who else? God himself. It's the wife you gave me to have. We can't blame others. Who did Eve blame? The serpent. But wasn't it, didn't they choose? I mean, the reality was no one held a gun to their head and made them. But I've thought about that. You know, I heard that as a kid. Well, you know, you would say, well, somebody, so-and-so made me. Well, did they hold a gun to your head and make you do it? Well, the reality, if someone holds a gun or whatever, they still can't make you do anything, can they? We think of the sad shootings of Columbine back in Colorado a number of years ago. Many of you remember that, the questions that some of these girls were asked. Are you a Christian? Well, the gun didn't change the reality. They said yes. The reality is that no one makes me sin, but I choose it. I might be tempted. I am tempted. Many times I'm tempted because I'm drawn away of my own lust, as James says in the New Testament. Sin destroys human relationships. It destroys heavenly relationships. Many that I blame. But in verse 14, and we'll get into this right now, sin brings consequences. Sin brings consequences for my life. Verse 14, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this," was the serpent wrong? Was the serpent wrong in doing what he did? Yes, Lucifer, the Satan, yes, he was. In fact, were there already consequences to Satan? He was cast out of heaven for his sin of wanting to be as God. Time frame of all this? I don't know exactly. I can't tell yet. We're here at the beginning yet. Creation, we don't know exactly how much time happened. But did God create even the angels? Well, yeah. So we know it was sometime after in the beginning. And sometime before Genesis 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. But sin brings consequences. God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. So does that mean every snake is the devil? Well, no. It's not the devil incarnate. It's now, there's something. Now, some people like snakes. I don't know why. But some people enjoy those big snakes and a lot of things like that. But here we're reminded there are consequences for sin. We go on to verse 15. God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Again, there were consequences that Satan would be crushed someday. Who was the one that God was going to use? The Son of Man, yes, of who? Who was Jesus' earthly mother, his only mother? Mary. But he was the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. Here, we see some of this beginning stages of prophecy already back here in Genesis 3. And so Satan would be crushed by Jesus. Paul says to the church at Corinth, O grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? Why? Because Jesus Christ has given power and victory over death. What did Satan tell them would happen? They won't die. God says you'll die. You won't die. You'll know good and evil. And they sure did, didn't they? But they did die. They didn't physically die that day, but they physically began the dying process. Each of us, really, as soon as we're born, we begin this dying process. Really, it's been stated even that for guys, 21, 22, and of course you can keep working out and doing things like that, but you get to those stages and your body begins this decline. Why is it in football and in basketball, people can only play so long? You don't hear of 60-year-old NFL players. Their body is what? Decreasing. And so we're all in this dying process. Because then God goes on to Eve, and he says woman would have struggles with life. Specifically, childbearing would be hard. He said, verse 16, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. There would be some difficulties in life. Was having babies part of the curse? No. Eve was designed to do that, made to do that. But there would be difficulty in that, pain in that process. And so having babies wasn't part of the curse. Ah, it's Eve now instead of Adam. You have to do it. That wasn't the mentality. The reason she was made to serve God in that way. But there were going to be difficulties. We see then in verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. It's interesting. You know, a lot of people say, well, if Eve wouldn't have done it. How many verses discuss the consequences for Satan's sin in this section here? One. How many verses discuss the consequences of Eve's sin? One. How many verses in this section discuss the consequences of Adam's sin? Three. Interesting. Who was made the head of the house? The man. And so it's not just, well, it's the lady who did it. Man, he listened and he did it himself. Did Adam still have a choice even after Eve sinned? He sure did. And there were consequences for his sin. And there are consequences for our sin. And we see, as Pastor Bob was saying, sometimes we see the reality of that when we teach evolution. It is just the next natural thing. Who says I can't take someone else's life? Who? Well, yeah, God, but if I believe in evolution, that might be right for you, but that's not what I believe because it's just evolution. It's just who the natural selection, part of natural selection, I'm just going to help this process. Isn't that what Adolf Hitler believed? Yet we say that was so wicked. Well, it was. But why? Where did it stem from even in Adolf Hitler's life? The teaching of evolution. It really did. Because if all we are animals, there's no moral compass to lead me. I can do what I want because animals don't have a moral compass. You know, it's interesting. Coyotes, you think of a farm and coyotes and sheep. One of the coyotes in the pack doesn't say to the rest, hey, you know, we really shouldn't take those sheep. That's that farmer's and he never gave us permission for one for dinner. Right? I mean, coyotes don't do that. But there's something that God has done in us. We are made in the image of God. But when we sin, there are consequences. It might not be eating the fruit of the tree, but we all sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin, God says, is death. Like he told Adam and Eve in the beginning, it didn't change. The wages of sin is death. And sadly, sometimes that does mean death because my sin doesn't only affect me. The tough situation that happened in Florida today, it didn't simply affect the person who was the perpetrator of the crime. And it didn't just affect those 14 people whose lives were taken. And it didn't just affect the people that were at school today. Hundreds of people were personally affected because of one person's sin. And you say, well, I would never do that. No, but my sin is just as wicked before God. And my sin will keep me from heaven. And my sin will affect others. My sin might not affect as many people as that person's sin today did. My little sin of getting angry at my brother or sister. My disrespect to my parents. But my sin will affect others. And God says there are consequences for my sin. The greatest of which is hell. That's why Jesus came. Already prophesied in verse 15, he would come and crush. Aren't you thankful if you know Jesus Christ as Savior? If you don't, today is the day of salvation. Jesus died for you. He came to take away your consequences for your sin, which is eternal death in hell. But for those of us who are saved, our sin still has consequences. We see people whose life all the time has consequences. Why is it that we have some prisons not far from here? Because somebody's sin had what? Consequences. Well, I'm not doing anything to go to prison. But that doesn't mean your sin doesn't have consequences. Disrespect to parents, sometimes there's consequences. You get grounded, right? Well, you can't do that now. Anger towards someone. Oh, I didn't mean to punch him in the face, but the consequence of my sin did it. And then I have consequences because of that. And so there's sin in my life, and it has consequences. If I know Jesus Christ as Savior, I need to walk in Him and take the strength. Our theme for this year, we see it all the time up on the screen, is what? Redeeming the time. And if I'm going to do that, I've got to remember the truth that my sin has consequences. And that I've got to take God's strength. So we see some consequences here with Adam and Eve. By the way, teens, work was not part of the curse of sin. Adam was given work to do before he sinned. The curse was that it would be tough. And so work is tough. Does that mean I don't have to do it? No, because that was something God gave even before the consequences of sin. Very interesting truth to think about. So we see that there is consequences of sin. It will hurt me. It will hurt my heavenly relationships. It brings consequences. Life would change forever. Look down at verse 20. And that's again where we talk about the eternality of sin, that the ultimate consequences are hell. Verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and what? Clothe them. Again, there's reasons for clothes, aren't there? It was interesting, I was listening to a message the other day, and someone said, well, why is marijuana wrong? Because who made the plants? Well, God did. So what's wrong with marijuana? He wouldn't have made it if I shouldn't have had it. Well, it's interesting to think about the reality. God had Adam and Eve and made them and gave them dominion over animals and plants. Not for the animals and plants to have dominion over them. And that's what we see with the use of marijuana or tobacco or whatever. It has dominion over us. And God didn't give that to have dominion over us. He gave us to have dominion over the world he made. So again, that's just one of the reasons, but we see so many other issues with tobacco, cigarettes, or whatever other natural drugs that there are. God gave them to have dominion over the plants and the animals of that. Well, there were consequences. Their life was changed forever. They were taken out of the Garden of Eden. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. Again, we see the triunity of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, to know God, good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. God did not want them to live forever with sin. And you and I don't have to. Now granted, we will die. But there is that opportunity for eternal life, and that's through who was prophesied in verse 15, Jesus Christ. He is the answer for our sin. He's the answer for the consequences of my sin. Life has changed forever. We can't understand what Adam and Eve lived before sin. But we sure can know what it is to live in victory through Christ, who strengthens me. What is our memory verse for this month? Any of you teens know? Any of you teens remember our memory verse? At least the reference? There we go. And it is we what? We love him because he first loved us. Don't we see that right here? That's why Adam and Eve could love God. Because God first loved them. He sent the Savior. Teens or adults, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, today is the day of salvation. So we have a couple questions here at the end. A couple things to think about. Reflect and respond. I need to choose what? Obedience. I don't know if you can read that very well. I need to choose obedience. It's a choice I have to make. I can choose to sin. It may lead me to a point of some huge sin I never thought I would do. I need to choose obedience. And then I need to choose reconciliation. That's a big word, teens. What does that mean, reconciliation? Getting right with God. Adam and Eve were able to choose that, prophesied that Jesus would come, but they were able to choose to get right with God. Did they confess and forsake their sin? I believe so. Now, did they keep sinning because they were sinners? Yeah. But they said, God, here we are. We know we're naked. We looked at that last week more in depth. We know we have something between you and us. And they were able to take care of that. Let's take care of that, whether we need to get saved or whether we're saved and we just need to deal with our sin before God and choose getting right with God. Father, we thank you for your love. I thank you for the opportunity that we have to choose you. Help us to trust you and obey. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity we have to worship you together. But as we leave here and go our own ways, help us to choose to obey. In Jesus' name.